So, yeah, we're talking. We're here with Catherine. We just had our pre-live meeting, so we had some fun, and I hope we can take that into the into this into our session today. And I'll start with me. It's a global citizen talking about networking today. So that's our main topic, and our experiences and how we go about it, and learning about each, about learning more about Catherine, learning about me and our backgrounds. We decided it's probably a good idea to bring these experiences outward and introduce ourselves and share that with you, how we developed, how our lives went. Because, once upon a time, the Earth was very, very, very big, and we couldn't go from one continent to the other, or it took a significant venture. It's probably more difficult at the times than it is today to get to Mars. Was the trip from Europe to Australia was a mission impossible at one time or another. So now we're like, yeah, so the Earth has gotten very small, and I think that's the key. And I think it impacts all of us, and the A, mixing of cultures, B, the time you could be. I mean, with the newest technologies, you can make it from once they're implemented, what we're working on is you can make New York to Tokyo, I think, in like 4 hours once they develop the new plane. So, it's like you used to have to go travel from New York to Chicago for hours and hours by car. Now you're in Tokyo in 4 hours. So that made the world very small, and it gives opportunity to for people to meet and to interact and engage and meet the different cultures and habits and adapt to them. So for me, I was born in Czech Republic. And when I was 12, we escaped communism. And basically, I grew up in New York. So people tell me, where are you from? I'm like, I don't know, because I was born. What do you mean? Where was I born? I was born in Czech Republic. How do I, where am I from? Well, I'm from Staten Island, New York, because that's where I spent my teenage years, my high school. And I think that's one of the things that defines us the most. So I'm kind of a, bi country citizen. But and I kept traveling, and all across Europe. When I was in Europe, I kept traveling from different state to state to state. The farthest east I ever went was Israel. That's another completely different culture and settings and stuff. But I mean, I never went there for business. It was just fun with our soccer team and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I've done business in Czech Republic since the 90s, and met with people from all sorts of nations in Czech Republic, because Czech Republic is interesting in the fact that it's kind of a hub. It's a Central European place. So sort of living in Prague was similar to growing up in New York, because you get multiple nations and nationalities and business travelers, and so it's kind of a nice hub. So Czech Republic was good for that, and I kind of felt comfortable there despite being born there. I speak the language perfectly. Growing up in New York, it gave me a different element, a different outlook. And so I was quite doing well with it. Then I did the translation agency. So again, I used a lot of the what was this, 2006. So the internet was only in the diapers, so-called. So I did do my first website back then. And I've developed it online, and then that was the networking at the time was for business. It was kind of easier because of my connections, again, to former students, to new people. And so it's kind of like, for me to live in Prague was, I was a stranger in familiar land, because I was born there, but I was culturally more in the West mindset. So that was an interesting encounter, and it made it a little easier. But also, I always was involved with a lot of expats, a lot of people from abroad. Kind of, it's almost when you start networking internationally, and you are a person that lived in a couple of countries, more than one anyway, is you kind of have magnetism. You kind of draw these people to you. So I have people that lived in Croatia for a couple of years. I have people, friends that are Czech, that have been in Finland, that have lived in Italy, and kind of, the Czechs that never traveled, I don't have much. I mean, I know them, they're friends and all that, but I had a lot more always in common with people that traveled. So anybody who lived abroad, regardless where, it doesn't matter, Australia, Norway, but once you become that, like we're calling this the global citizen, you know, mm-hmm. you kind of tend to attract other global citizens. So, and I wish, of course, the whole world was one country, but you know, that's still way, way, way out of our in the future, I think. But we have to live with the rules that we have now, and just that's just the way it is. It's just a huge world, and just that the fact that I'm here with Catherine, I'm gonna stop blabbering now about myself, but it's just another proof, because she has a very similar background, coming from a different continent and different backgrounds, but ultimately she has the same story.
That's why
we're here, and this is the proof of what I'm talking about. So, you know, and now today with the modern tools, you know, I'm in Bloomington, Illinois, not even in New York, and she's in Sweden, and we're talking and we're having this conversation. And so the modern tools are like anything else. They're not ideal. They have their flaws and faults, but they do have the positives. And the positive is obviously the fact that we're now the world has become basically borderless within the online world anyway. So that's my take on it. It's interesting. And Catherine, there you go. Tell us about yourself.
Okay. No, I really enjoyed hearing your story. And it really just tells me that, I mean, that's a reason why we're here, right? And I even created a post like days ago saying that, you know, I did something, just a podcast interview. And then, you know, it's usual for me to connect with people who, you know, I've connected, and I like to check on everyone else. How is it, like, let's say how you are doing, how everyone is rather. And then I saw your message and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Because like, not only that, you know, a person just checks on you, but rather gives you feedback. And for me, that is very important. I guess for other cultures or for other individuals, they don't really appreciate feedback. But in my case, I do. And so we connected, and then here we are, right? And we had a chance to actually have an exchange on like our stories. And it really just it's like a testimony that we are not like, we're not an isolated case here. There's like a lot of people who share our story, so to speak. So just to give you an idea, like, I guess to top it off, for me, I was born and raised in the Philippines, but even then I didn't really feel like I'm a Filipino, like a full Filipino. And I will tell you the story about it later. And then my family immigrated to the US, but in between I also had been traveling for work, for love, for, you know, leisure. And because that had been my outlet, you see, I'm an introvert, and despite me being an introvert, I find myself being open to experience. Like my openness to experience is actually high. So I like taking personality tests, and it's a way for me to also get to know myself. And what I do know about myself is that my openness to experience is high, but I am an introvert. I also have high conscientiousness. So usually what happens when you combine all traits is like, I'm an introvert, yes. But then again, if I'm on a break, or when I'm on a traveling spree, or when I'm on an adventure, I just feel so immersed and relaxed. And so this is when I actually get to meet other people, and I get to show my authentic self, so to speak. So I really enjoy traveling in between, you know, in between my bases, so to speak, like, you know, being in the Philippines or being with my family in the US. And then of course, now I'm also in Sweden. But it's funny because like, even during the time when I was in the Philippines, just a quick history, the Philippines was colonized by the Spaniards for like 300 years, right? So of course we have words, we have concepts, we have bits and pieces of the culture that we already inherited, but one of it is like the mañana culture. So it's like, and the Filipino time, actually. Have you heard of this, Carol?
No, actually that's new to me. I was like, I didn't know Sweden and Philippines were actually that much connected.
So we have this thing called Filipino time, Warren, when you say someone arrives at the, like, let's say you have a party and the party starts at 5, or the meeting starts at 5. It's an unspoken rule that this, like, people will arrive like 10 minutes later and no one will get mad at it. Like, it's a norm. But for me, I really, like, I don't know. Like I said, I've lived there almost all my life, or during my formative years, but I never got used to it. In fact, like a minute up and you're not there, I react in a certain way. So there are others, of course, to explain that why, okay, I was born and raised in the Philippines during my formative years, and yet there are still cultures or norms that I never really got, right? And then, of course, here in Sweden. So actually my partner would always like tell me, you know what, in order for you to be a full Swede, you have to know how to use the words perhaps, I guess, and maybe in a sentence. Because again, in history, here, Sweden has never been in a conflict for like over 100 years, if I'm not mistaken. And so that kind of gives you an idea on what type of people, you know, Swedes are. Like, they don't really like to get into conflict. Even if they have an opinion, they want to keep it subtle, or they want to keep it gentle when it comes to, you know, stating their voice, right? But as you know, you've lived in New York, you don't have time for that. No. I don't like that, or that doesn't sound good for me, doesn't sit right, right? So, and my family's, you know, my family immigrated to the US like over maybe 17, 18 years ago. So, and it's quite different, right? So it's like, I'm right here, but I practice, like, in terms of, like, let's say work ethics, I'm pretty much, I don't know, Westernized or Americanized, but I'm right here. And I love nature as well. So I really like walking around and just being on foot here. So whenever I go to the US and I would tell my parents, you know what, I'm just going to walk, you know, walk to the store. And they're like, by the way, my family lives in the Bay. So Bay Area, San Francisco. So they were like, why are you going to walk? Let me, you know, just have a car or something. Because they find it weird that they find it weird that you use your legs apparently to go from point A to point B. Everyone uses their car. So I feel like I'm a mix of all sorts of colors. And when I was, I think, in high school, I just felt so odd in that sense, because, you know, like, even in my own country, like, there are words that I can't, up until now, like, I don't understand or I can't use. I feel like my Swedish is broken. My American sometimes, of course, it's still, you know, I can never be considered bilingual or native. And with my Filipino, it's also, you know, whenever I see someone here who happens to be Filipino, and my partner would be like, why don't you speak Filipino? I was like, no, they're going to know. Because, you know, I can't, I'm not also comfortable or confident with how I speak it. So I feel like I'm a mix of different cultures, mix of different country, like, you know, because I've lived in Hong Kong, I've lived in the Philippines, I've gone back and forth to Japan maybe 18 times in my life. I've been to Taiwan maybe, you know, 2-3 times, but long stretches of time. And then I've also lived here. And you know what I mean? It's like you just get what helps you or what makes you a person. And I feel like I'm just a mix of different colors, so to speak. And that makes me think that I am a global citizen. So I feel like whenever someone asks me, where are you from? I don't really know how to answer that question sometimes. And I'm sure you can relate. And yeah, knowing we have had this conversation, I'm like, so it's not just me then that I can, you know, like, sometimes I feel like, am I really of an idiot not to even know the answer to this question? But actually, it's not an isolated case. There's like a lot of people like us, Carol.
I mean, at first I will always say I'm an American, but the fact is, like, who are you? I'm an American, that for sure. That I will be, that's a definite. But yeah, the fact is where are you from? It's kind of like, you know, which stage of my life? Right. It's like, you know, when I was very, very little, it's Czech Republic. When I was a little bigger, it was New York. Then it was, you know, then one of the countries I love is Croatia in Europe. So I love going there, and I've been there several times. And, you know, I could see myself living there very easily again, because I just, we went there for like 3 weeks one time, and I was just sitting there with the family in a small town in the island of Pug, and I learned a language in 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, yeah, I became part of the family there. I was like, yeah, I can just very quickly adapt and live here. It's no work there for me, of course, but yeah, it's, you know, the moving around and to get the experience and to stay at the ocean for a while, go to the mountains and meet all the different and encounter all the different habits, you know. And then, but yeah, you go all over the place and you meet the people. And one of the things that helps is always trying to learn the language. And like you said, it's like the prowess with the language really matters. So if you're trying to work internationally, you always want to speak the language where you're going to go. I think that's the important aspect. Is kind of like,
I was going to ask, are you actively learning any language right now?
No, I hate learning anything actively. I just basically just go and I learn it when I'm there.
Okay. That's
about it. You drop me off in a country in the middle of nowhere, and whatever language they speak, I don't care. I'll pick it up in about a month.
Well, that's a skill.
Yeah, I mean, just I just adapt that easily. It's like, I don't care what it is, I don't care what they speak. I'll look very, and that's, I think, the important part about also networking and building business. It's right. The same thing. It's kind of like, don't be afraid to look stupid.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's like, the first time. It's just, well, I was going to say, sorry, Carl. So I was going to say, like, I think that's a skill, and it's something that is learned. So, like, let's say you have been moving around, you know, you have been moving around, you have been living and moving and knowing other cultures, working, you know, for whatever reason that you move around. And the idea of actually adapting quickly, I think it's, do you think it is something learned, or do you think it's something that's innate? Just a curious question.
I would love to know the answer to that myself. But because, yeah. I mean, I probably, it's, for me, it's acquired and learned, because I have really never lived anywhere for a very long time.
Okay.
Even as a child in Czech Republic, I was, right. I know we were moving every year almost. So it was like, you know, we never had any place that was steady to, and in my adult life, it's pretty much the same thing. True. That's why I had my, you know, and again, coming back to New York in 2017, stayed in Staten Island, lived in Brooklyn. Then COVID hit. I went to Raleigh. Being a New Yorker in Raleigh is an interesting experience in and of itself. Like, I don't know how it is in Philippines, but like in Czech Republic, if you're from Prague and you go to all the smaller villages, you're always a person from Prague. So you get a different perspective. And in America, it's New York. So as soon as you open up your mouth and you say, "What's up, fellas?" and "Hello," whatever, they're like, "Oh, yeah, this is the guy from New York."
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and they look at you differently. So, you know, good for better or worse, you're just different. And yeah, and so I just go and I stay in, you know, I just adapt somehow. And this is something that I think in me, it's probably developed by since birth, and it's just learned. I don't know, but, you know, I always liked, it's also, I have a lifelong desire to learn, to get new experiences, to learn new skills. So I think that's just part of that. I mean, I just like learning everything.
I'm going to joke about the certifications.
Yeah. I just don't like the certifications. I finished high school in 3 years. In my fourth year in New York, I only missed, I was only missing one credit to graduate after 3 years. So I went to fourth year in high school just because, but that's because I learned everything myself. Like, for example, I want to learn programming. So I took a book, I took a computer when I was like 15, 16, and I learned programming. Then I was like, oh, let me go. Well, you're offering that in school as credit. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to take the programming course here so I get high school credit. And so I go to the teacher, and he's like, yeah, well, you have to start with the, you know, with the level one programming of basic. I'm like, I don't need that. I already know basic because I learned it at home myself. So he's like, okay, well, just take the final of the basic course. And if you take the final test, then we'll just put you into the advanced placement class. So I took the final test and I went to the advanced placement class because I don't need anybody to teach me. I just learned it myself because I like to learn programming. And that goes for everything, you know, like, and we talked about the scuba diving too. You know, it's like, you have to take the course and the certification, but I didn't dive for 10 years. And I go diving, they just give me the stuff. And it says, hey, just show us what you're doing. And I was like, well, I can't do it right now, but give me 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, and then
No, it's just crazy, but there's a charm to it too, like doing it or learning it in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just this is what you use then when you travel. You use that to learn all the stuff. Don't be afraid to point like, oh, what is that? Oh, you know, so you look stupid for a couple of weeks. You know, people are like, well, what are they gonna think? I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, I think that really helps. Not the part one, because for me, I don't really care a lot when it comes to when I know that it's for my own good or for my own benefit. So if, like, let's say before I went to Japan my first time, and in my early 20s, I've done lots of solo travels. I will never trade that for any type of experience. Like, I really learned a lot about myself, how to be independent. I also, like, learned to be confident in that sense. And, you know, whenever I've had a lot of boo-boos, by the way, like, you know, missing my flight for whatever reason almost losing my passport, those type of things. And I guess you learn something about yourself whenever those failures or mistakes happen. And then, of course, you develop this threshold for not failure, but at least if you don't get it right the first time. So I am with you when you said, like, you know, if you know, don't be afraid to feel like you're the odd one in the room, or if, you know, just when you feel like you look stupid, I guess it's not something that you should care more about, but rather what you get from the experience. So for me, I'll just share an example. So we were talking about Swedish earlier. So I moved here during the pandemic. So that was like over 4 years ago. And I did my Swedish class for maybe like 2 months, and it was also part-time. But I, you know, that time I decided, okay, maybe I didn't really need it that much. And then I also got sick. So I did have like a lot of reasons for me to just, you know, stop the course. And then recently I said, okay, I really see myself being here for like a long time. And so I really have to find my footing. So one of the things that I really need to do is to, you know, to speak. But in those 4 years, I can read, I can listen, like I can listen and understand, but speaking is a different layer for me. Like, you know, because I myself, I find it, I just sound so funny when I speak it. But then other people would say I don't. But I guess it's me being my own critic, right? And so recently, I just took my national test. And I told myself that if I pass this, because I felt like it was premature too, because I was only in for like 3 weeks and they're already qualifying me for a test to progress. And I'm like, I don't think I'm ready for this, but sure, go ahead. But I told myself that once I pass that exam, then I would always have like a Swedish hour per day, wherein I would have to really speak the language. Because if you don't push me towards the wall, I'm not going to do it. But I can understand. That makes sense. So I think one of the tools that I really need to do here, or at least to have here, is to speak the language. But also, I want to make a disclaimer that doesn't mean that you know how to speak the language that you get, you know, you get everything else. Because, you know, there are ways to speak it, right? So like, let's say there are idiomatic expressions that I still don't get here, and, you know, and maybe jokes or slangs. And in fact, there are words that, like, let's say you can't translate to another language, you know what I mean? So those type of things. And we just get to learn the concept, and we know how to describe it, but not to actually, you know, translate it into anything. So just an example, there's this word here called lagom. I've never really... The closest that I could, lagom is a word to say that it's just right. It's not too much, not too less, just right. But if you translate that to maybe, I don't know, you're like American, maybe it, I don't know, mediocre, but that's not what it means here. It's just right, like perfect. But of course, for other cultures or for other countries, that's not what it means, right? So those type of learnings, I think, you get to learn along the way. So I just wanted to add that in terms of language.
No, language is definitely, you need to speak. It's just, and again, it's, I think it's the self-consciousness, you know, like everybody's so self-conscious. Do I get it right? And as far as language, and in Europe, it's, I would say it's generally pretty hard to not be self-conscious, because people in European countries are, for the longest time, they've been always pretty judgmental about the language and the exact accent and the pronunciation and stuff, and they've been very specific. And me being, again, Czech and American, and I was the first one to speak in my family. I was the first one to speak without an accent in English, because of my ability to not be afraid to look stupid. I just want to get it right. My whole motivation is to be the best at whatever I do. So for the first year, I was speaking English, but the fact is I was not really speaking. I was just repeating what I heard.
Okay.
The sounds. So a lot of people didn't understand my English. This is, well, you got to pronounce it so that we understand it. I'm like, no, this is the way it's said. The fact that I didn't get it right yet is a different story, but I want to learn it the way I hear it. And so then first few, let's say even months, it doesn't sound right. It comes out the wrong way. I don't care. I want to learn it right. I don't care about the process, because people tell you got to do this, you got to do that. No, just speak it, and don't be afraid. Just try to repeat the sounds more than the words. That's basically how it is. That's how you. That's kind of like, you know, what you hear, you repeat. So it was, as I was sitting at the people with in Croatia, I'm just sitting there at the table after like 2 weeks, and you know, I wasn't able to speak that much, because of course, then to form a perfect sentence. is hard, especially after 2 weeks. So, but I was just sitting there and they were looking at me like, you understand everything we're saying. I was like, yeah, pretty much. So there was like a regular family dinner conversation. I was like, when you slow it down a little bit, it's much better. But when you speak, you're blah, 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 blah. I was like, then I missed some words here and there. But basically, I just understand everything. Yeah. So, but again, because I listen to the sounds, not the exact words, but the sounds. So that kind of helps. And also, it helps to, it's like when you go anywhere in a new place, you go to local bars. You have a couple of beers with people. After that, the barriers break and you kind of get to learn a lot better of that accent that they have.
That's the strategy, because like technically, I mean, when you're at the bar, you're more relaxed. And of course, there are like social lubricants available, such as like drinks or food or, you know, like music, so on and so forth. And that kind of just, you know, makes everything so relaxed. And I think we all function better when we're not on the edge or when we're not, you know, feeling anxious or being so conscious, so to speak. So I think that's one way. But I have a question, Kirill. So because for me, I like connecting with other people and I like getting to know my connections as well. And I send messages, I do voicemails, sometimes I do emails. What's your go-to? Do you use voice messages or voicemails, or do you time it when to actually use it?
To approach somebody on LinkedIn through a voice, it's kind of creepy. Okay. I think when I don't know somebody and start, you know, it's kind of like it's to me, it's almost like a cold call. I mean, you know, I really don't feel like I'm in the, I guess, the texting culture, but okay. In the generation and stuff. So I'm used to texting. But the reason why I like, for example, I don't even check my voicemail on my phone. People like leave messages like, we left a voicemail on your phone. I was like, yeah, well, the company doesn't want to turn it off, but I don't use voicemails. I don't listen to them. I think they just sound weird. And it's like, you just send it to me with text. I appreciate text a lot more because let's say I'm in a crowd of people.
Right.
Wherever that could be, whether it's a personal event, whether it's a business event. And then I get a voice message. What am I going to do? I can't hear it. I can't turn the sound on, but I can read it. So it's kind of like keeping the privacy with the text messages, I think, is a lot better. Okay. And also, when people leave the voicemails, I don't like to listen to their voicemails. I just, you know, I haven't had a voice. I haven't listened to voicemails for like, yeah, I think I've had maybe 3 voicemails in the last decade or so. I just don't, you know, like text me, because the text messages get delivered whenever and you read them whenever you turn the phone on and stuff. But, you know, it's kind of like even with video, people sometimes leave the video messages. It's probably a little better, but like if I don't know you, why should I want to be looking at you or hearing you? Like, just
it makes sense. But
that's the introvert part in me. Like, I'm just leave me alone. It's like you're being too invasive now.
Oh,
I kind of leave messages. And then,
left you a voice note. Oh, my God. Okay.
What?
It's a good thing that I have never left you a voice note. Otherwise, this wouldn't happen.
No, that's not bad, but it does seem kind of awkward, like I said. So, and again, it's and about networking on LinkedIn is I've tried a couple of methods and the intro messages and I'm this and that. And I'm like, then after a while, I realized it really doesn't make any sense. You see the profile, and if you want to connect, you can connect. The hardest on LinkedIn, the hardest time is between 0 and 500 connections. After you go beyond 500 connections, it becomes easier. And there's no reason to leave messages because nobody reads them anyway. Most people, if you hit them invite, if I get an invite, I'll look at the profile and I'll look at if it's a real person or a fake person. Because there's a lot of robot profiles.
That's what I heard these days. Look, I reinstated my usage like over a month ago, and now, you know, like I get to learn what's up, what's different. And a lot of people actually mentioned something about bots and LinkedIn and
It's everywhere. I mean, the internet is full of bots, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, and stuff. I think LinkedIn still does the best job out of all the platforms. not to say they do a great job, but they do the best job of out of the other competition. But but yeah, you look at the bot aspect, you know, they've been trying to like fish me. Like there was one thing, it was a lot of these, like there's a profile with some Asian person, like in like a little dot in the middle of the profile picture, sitting in someplace on a couch, like a mile away. So you don't even see like the face and stuff. And so like, yeah, I'm from blah, blah city in China. Blah. So we had this conversation. I carried it for a while. It was interesting. And then the first thing they ask you is, oh, can we switch this to WhatsApp or something else? I'm like, no, I'm not going off this platform. So right, it's like, it's an immediate stop. Like, oh, let's take this to WhatsApp. No.
I get it. In the way it makes sense.
And then you get these messages from people like this guy from, I forget where it was from. It was either Bangladesh or something. And he keeps sending me messages for like a month. So he said, oh, I do this and this and this and this. So after about five messages, I'm like, and my son really laughed at this one. It was like, I wrote a message to him. I says, did you notice I didn't reply to your five previous messages? Oh, it's just so great for you to reply. Thank you. You know, blah, 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 blah. Well, this is what I do. I'm like, okay, I'm glad you glad you noticed that. So let's keep it that way. And that was it. He's like, oh, I understand.
Was it a person or was it a bot? Sorry.
It was probably trying to network that way. But I'm like, we're not connected. And just because you send me five messages doesn't mean I'm going to connect with you anyway.
So. No, it actually doesn't. So for me, I actually like, I guess I do have my practices and you do have yours. But I think you're already aware of this because of the time that I reply to you sometimes, right? So I really allocate like a time wherein I answer to messages. Yeah. And I think that is just my conscientiousness speaking, because like I said, for me, it's like if I'm trying to maintain connections and I really wanted to get to know, of course, you can't bring everyone with you in your journey, because at the end of the day, you would say, okay, this person, whatever interest this person has, I mean, it doesn't align with mine. I mean, this is something that you just figure out along the way. But in order for you to figure it out, when I say you, it's me. Okay, so I'm just trying to explain it. It's like, I need the funnel in order for me to actually, you know, it's a funnel if you think about it. So like I said earlier, I like leaving voice notes, and this is something that I do, not because I want to, you know, I want to be a creep or anything like that, but I feel like it's easier. And look, my family's not, you know, I got used to this remote lifestyle for like YouTube. I mean, I can imagine, but you know, communicating with my team, my partners, my business partners, rather, my family, sometimes it's just easier to explain by leaving a voice note. That's just like one bit of my explanation why I use it. But text, I do agree that it's still beneficial. I mean, especially for those who have like anxious tendencies. Is that a word? Yeah. When you're sending a message to someone who happens to be an anxious type of person, you wouldn't want to receive a voice. That person wouldn't want to receive a voice note in the middle of a meeting, right? Because the entire time she's just gonna be like, "What the hell is this voice note about?" You know what
I mean? Yeah, exactly. And you can't play it, and it's not always good, and you know, and it could be personal. You could be at a funeral, you get a voicemail, like, "Sorry, you know. I'm not gonna listen to it." But no, with family and stuff and friends, I don't have a problem leaving messages, of course. But like for the contacting and networking, it's just keep it textual. I mean, you know, sending a couple of texts, and then if, you know, and then what I do is like what I did with you, and I just reply, and I was like, you know, I listened to you do a bunch of the webinars. So I listened to one of those that you did that you were part of, and I reached out to you, and I said, you know, let's just meet at a personal meeting on a Zoom, because you're in Sweden, I'm in the US, right. And so. So I send out the schedule meeting, get to know, no sales pitch, nothing, just to talk and meet people. And I think that's an important aspect. After trying a bunch of strategies and after achieving, let's say, around the 2,000 follower count, you sort of get that respect that you're not just a bot. And I do post every day now, so it's a lot easier for me to reach out to people, because like some people post 10 times a day. I'm like, no, once a day is really good. Sometimes if I do twice. Yeah, I have a bunch of people that post. Like,
time for that. Okay.
I'll, you know, again, I some people have it as a main thing, and some people have it written by other people, so they hire people to do that, and some people just use AI, so it depends. But a lot of times I feel you don't have that much to say to make five or six quality posts a day. You know, unless you have a team of creators that each one will do one post, for example, that will probably work. But if you do even once or twice a week, it's a lot more important to engage.
Right.
But once you're engaged, and that's the whole thing, is A, you have your account can be suspended by LinkedIn tomorrow. So you always want to be off the platform, make the connections. So to network properly, you always want to do a one-on-one. And you know, so that's basically what it is. And that is sales pitch one-on-one, you know, because not everybody wants to buy from you. Sometimes they're not even the right fit for your business, but they can be referral partners. And as long as you build that network, you know, it's going to be fine. And that's what it comes down to, is just building that network and making it personal. I think that's the strategy I've incorporated this year on LinkedIn, and it's working just fine
for me. So of course, you know, I've had connections, right? I told you that I recently just reinstated my LinkedIn over a month ago. And so one of the first things I did was actually set up my button, like a virtual coffee. I mean, for me as an introvert, that kind of helps, because for me, I'm more engaged when it's like one-on-one. And it's just a button that's like available for my connections. And either they want to pitch, either they want to use me as a sounding board, if they just want to, you know, have some exchanges with a human being, not a bot, and just exchange ideas, then you know, I just put it there. And I've seen, well, for me, time is my currency. So I feel like if I'm able to give that to some of my connections, it also like it also gives them an idea that, of course, I value, like whoever values me as their connection too. So I've actually met a lot of people. I mean, you're one of them, of course, and we ended up just talking, right? But I ended up like meeting a lot of people in the span of like over a month. And so I do think that having that button, you know, just for virtual coffee, keep it all open. Don't use it for anything that's specific. I think that also helps. That's just my take. I guess some people have the time to, you know, explore, so to speak. But I, we're travelers. So we know this surprise element, that we have this in us. So which means we like the idea of exploring and being curious. And I think that really goes a long way. And we already know that because we've been traveling. And so if we carry it along the lines of, if you carry it to the networking bit, then we know that we'd get something from it. That's like maybe something we didn't expect even, which happens to be good. So, yeah.
And and from the traveling aspect, the one thing I have never done is I never purchased a tour or a trip. I only buy tickets and rent cars.
Never.
No, I don't understand how people can go on like, we go on a weekly trip with these 20 people. We go on a tour and I'm like, why?
Why?
Like, because everybody wants to go to the tourist sites. Everybody wants to do this and that. And this, everything is prepared, you know? So I go to a country. I just get because like in Czech Republic, they sell the weekly trips to the Canary Islands, right? Where you get the whole package, blah, 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 blah. You get the all-inclusive and you get this hotel and then you spend there a week and you get the tour guide that they will bring you and you could always talk to them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to go see Canary Islands, but I don't want a tour guide. So I just bought the tickets. I didn't even get a car. I just got the tickets. I went to the airport. I was like, you know, let me rent a car. So they gave me a car at the airport. And I drove around the island three times before I realized where I want to stay. I picked the hotel. And why did I not get all inclusive? And I don't even speak that much Spanish. So, you go to Spain and you just figure it out, you know. And, you know, after a day or two, you know, I have no problem saying una más piña colada. It's not a big deal. You learn that very quickly. So, no más is, I don't say that often, but sometimes, you know, and that's it. And that's all you need to get around. And so, but the thing was, is I don't buy these packages, the travel packages, because what if the hotel is terrible? You can't change it. Oh, this is a terrible hotel. No, I'll go there and I'll pick the hotel. The price difference is not that much. And sometimes you actually get on-site, you get cheaper places. And I want to go where I want to go on the island. I don't want to have to be stuck with whatever some tour person told me. And then the same thing goes with the activities. I don't want to be eating at the hotel because the hotel will give you, you know, like people like, oh, you know, you get this all-inclusive deal. I'm like, they sound great, but okay. I want to go to the local pub where the local people go, and I want to meet them, and I want to see what they eat. I want to try that. That's why I'm going to the other country. I'm not going there to have McDonald's. I mean, I get that anywhere, so why would I be going to Spain to have McDonald's? So that's my take on this, and that's the exploration part. It's just never anything organized. So right. I don't, you know, so just go out and do stuff.
Yeah, so this is like in-person immersion, like, you know, when you go from one country to another. But do you, because I recently went to a virtual conference. Have you attended these kinds of conferences, like virtual conferences, when they had like a networking section?
I did, and some of them are good, some of them are terrible. It depends. And throughout COVID, a lot of the networking events were forced to go on Zoom. To me, I don't have a problem with it because I've been on camera. A big part of my life is always being on stage and on camera and stuff, and we talked about that. And so for me, it's not a problem. But then it's funny to sometimes see the people networking on the cameras and on the video, and they don't feel that comfortable with it. So it's kind of like, it's kind of strange. But yeah, if the people are like, I did one, I think, in January this year, and that was a great one. Some guy from England did it, and he was splitting up the people into Zoom groups and stuff. And I don't want to name the names. I actually know the name, but like, you know, he does this a couple of times here and there. And those are good. Those that was really good because I have some good connections from that and stuff. So networking, Zoom calls are definitely good. But the person that does that has to know what they're doing. So the effect is sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse. But, you know, that's
go ahead.
But yeah, as far as business, I mean, I think the only platform really for business networking is LinkedIn. So, again, there's a difference in whether people like to hear this or not. We're all equal, but women have a different, for the women's experience on platforms, any platform, social platform, is way different than from men. And women, curious. No, it's always different. I've noticed this because I've built up audiences across the platforms. I mean, I have a Facebook group that has 10,000 people in it. So I know. And I know this from a lot of the connections and a lot of the posts, and because I've been on, you know, I've been since for more than probably 15 years on online social networking, stuff like that. And women always get bigger reach, more interest, but it comes with the negative. So like if a man is building his profile, generally the woman will build it a lot faster, will pick up the followers. It's just, that's the way it is. And then that's just human nature. And then the woman will get sort of stalked or get indecent proposals or stuff like that. And there's a lot of that negative experience that women tend to be targeted a lot more for, you know. Like, I don't think I ever received a sexual intonation message ever in my life. But women do tend to get that regardless. And I know a couple of people that actually are not interested in getting into LinkedIn because they even had that on LinkedIn as well. You can report it and stuff, but that's something you got to get used to, you know, the abuse. So women do get sort of, I would say, abused a lot more on the social platforms, although it's not, the abuse of physical abuse. It's just.
Right. No, I get it.
Like just the human nature.
Harassment of some sort. No, you know what? I've never experienced that on LinkedIn, and it's because like I resorted my networking in other ways way back, and so I don't really know how that works. Like, do you know anyone that kind of that happened to them, and they got, you know, they reported a person? Do they really do something about it?
I know one lady that I've spoken with about a year ago, and she said, you know, I'm not really LinkedIn because I didn't have that good experience. She had some experience, something. I didn't want to get involved, like get the details of it. But I know that happened on LinkedIn, and she says, I don't get on there too much. And it happens on all the platforms. I mean, I have a lot of friends that post some of the stuff that how they get harassed by guys on Facebook, because Facebook is really bad for this. It's like Facebook is like, that is the pits for that type of behavior. But LinkedIn is a little bit more professional, so it's easier, but it does come too. So just be prepared. That's all I'm saying. But the solution on LinkedIn is not that on all the platforms is not that complicated. I mean, don't worry about it. Don't take it personally. Just hit the block button, delete the message, the hell with it,
Right.
Unless it goes beyond something, and then you can have to report it and whatever else. But generally, just not replying and just hitting the block button works. That's the best solution. But that's the danger of it, And it's got to do a lot with the, again, the mental health and, people spend a lot of time online, and it is not a natural process for us. So that's why I enjoy in-person networking more. So whenever I can do, meet people someplace, I like to spend a week by myself and then spend one day just going out to a different place and meeting the people. Like the most amazing experience for me for networking is just going to a new city, going to a bar I've never been in before, and just having a couple of beers and meeting people I'm never going to see again. But we have interesting conversations that night, and then we just go our own way. And that's also networking.
It is. And I guess to have no expectations, as the expectations is a good start, because again, you're there, you're putting yourself out there, you're being yourself, you're being authentic and genuine. And like you said, the main idea is to go out there and thinking that you're never going to meet like these same people again. But actually, I've had really good friends who happen to be still my good friends right now. And I've met them maybe in my early 20s because of some travel or some misadventure that I had way back. And my friends, I have some close friends, and there's like a story to kind of back them up that relates to me being a global citizen and me being out there and just showing up, actually some of my connections right now on LinkedIn came from the recent conference that I attended. So it's called, cause I'm a global ambassador for Women Tech Network, and they had like a virtual conference. So I said, okay, that's cool. Because you know what, to be honest, I've never really been into this type of virtual conferences since COVID. Right. So I just attended, I became a facilitator. I also became an ambassador. And then there's this section there, it's called a networking section, wherein they get to shuffle you and you don't really know who you're going to end up like with. Speak for like 5 minutes, right. If you want to extend or if you want to cut the conversation. So honestly, maybe I'm too late for this, but I find that the game kind of changed, because I never had this type of networking, so to speak, before. So maybe I'm late, you tell me, but yes, I just experienced that recently. So
no, that was the first for me too in January, and I thought I liked it. It was a similar type of a thing where you get broken up into the groups and stuff like that. So that works definitely. And that's an interesting one to do. Actually, I would love to do one of those.
Yeah.
But as the guy that was organizing this one said, time is very restrictive. And to do it the right way, it takes a lot of time and preparation and training on the Zoom to get that done right. Because, Zoom is probably I guess you could do it on other platforms as well. But Zoom is kind of like the one that's used the most. and again with the different platforms, it's like kind of like, that's the other thing, is how do you pick a platform to network on video calls? I mean, everybody's like kind of like, what do you use for messaging, and you have so many options. It's kind of like I just try to go with the one that's like most widely used, like Zoom. But if somebody contacts me and says, well, let's get on a Google thing, all right, I'll get on a Google because I have it. It's just not my number one go-to. Right. And to get to learn all those video platforms and stuff, I mean, I would still be happy using Skype if Microsoft didn't screw it up back then. So
yeah, I've been using Skype almost all my life until.
Yeah, and that was the best thing. I mean, in a day, once you got integrated into like Windows and stuff, and Microsoft took over, it kind of was pushed away by WhatsApp. That was the big that took over that. And now I just, for messaging and everything and talking globally to people, I just use Signal. That's the private message.
Yeah. I've heard about this. What's your take on Discord? Curious.
I don't know. It's to me, I see a lot of security threats there. I try to have as little apps in the phone as possible as far as that goes, that kind of communication. And I do have a very, for example, which one is the other one? The one that subs. I forget now. Not Discord. Discord is one of them, but I think because I just don't feel secure on that. And the other one was Telegram. Yeah, that's the other one. It's like that's the other one. It's kind of like you go on Telegram, you're just asking for trouble. To me, I mean, just because it's just not private enough. Let's put it that way. You know, okay. And even I noticed that on WhatsApp, I don't use it anymore too much. I have it on another phone that I don't even use for business. But WhatsApp has turned into also a lot of spam, kind of contacting people and trying to sell you a lot of times they try to sell you the Bitcoin currency, you know, digital, blah, 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 where they, you know, so I'm like, you know, as soon as you get hit with a bunch of those messages, you're like, you know, that platform is shot. Because the bots have taken over, you know. Yeah. They plug these apps into the bot farms, and the bot farm sends out millions of messages a day, let's say, whatever the number is. And then once that happens, is if you respond, then they'll switch you to a live person, let's say. But they just send out these things like by the millions, and it's kind of like no. That's why the networking should be kept to the minimum. I mean, you know, with all the new tools coming out, they're not very often transparent. So that's what I feel. I mean, I like to stick with what's proven.
And you still prefer like an in-person type of networking?
Yeah, and because of the distances, like between us, for example, it's, you know, the Zoom or the, you know, webinars, YouTube, you know, channel and stuff. And so, yeah, those are great things. And, you know, they will always prevail over anything else. You know, like there's a bunch of new tools that are coming out every day, but I'm like, no, when something good comes out, I'll try out new things. I just don't like to waste a lot of time because I don't know if you ever looked at it. Like, do you know how many social platforms there are?
No, give me the number. No,
I was looking at it. Last time I looked at it, it was around 300.
Social apps.
Social media platforms that you can communicate with people on.
I can't even maintain my Facebook or Instagram. It's like, I'm really having a hard time. I'm usually just on LinkedIn because I want to put like my energy. And if you have like 10 of those, like TikTok, Snapchat, you know, those type of, I don't know. It's also
generational. Like my son, basically, who was going to be 19 this year, he's mainly on Snapchat.
Okay.
And as far as I'm concerned, I don't have anybody on Snapchat that I would need to talk to for business or whatever else. So I don't use it. But the younger generation is a Snapchat generation, definitely. And it just changes it with groups. So again, it's about who you want to target. Like if you want to bring out a product for the 18-year-olds, yeah, you're gonna need Snapchat. But if you have a product for 40 and above, you don't need to be on Snapchat.
where then? Tell me. If you're 40 and above, where?
Well, you know, most people. Well, you know, I mean, Facebook was probably the first one that took over. So Facebook is generally has a broad range and grasp. And then you go specifically. A lot of people are on WhatsApp, so you can communicate through WhatsApp messages. So that's why Messenger kind of took over, even like Google Mail, Google messages, or text messages. It kind of changes like through the decades and through the generation. That's why it's so difficult to keep up with everybody. You know, it's kind of like, and at some point you just tell yourself why.
Okay. Well, you have a son, so I mean, look, I do have a question because, like you said, Snapchat. What about TikTok though? So who uses TikTok these days? Like what age bracket are we talking about? I don't have TikTok. So
again, that would be people, I would say under 25, and they're trying to attract the other audiences and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I still say, you know, anything you could do on TikTok, you can do on YouTube. And without getting too political, TikTok is, you know, controlled by the Chinese government in one way or another. And if you look at the ownership structure, it always ties back to China or somebody Chinese living in another country that owns that company, but is again tied back. So for me, TikTok is just, you know, no matter where you're going to be online, you're always going to give your data to somebody.
Right. Like
even LinkedIn was owned by Microsoft. Your data is going to be processed there. But, you know, it's a matter of, it's all influencing. And so who do you want to give your data to? That's what it comes down to. Who you feel more comfortable with. You know, like And I don't live in China, so I don't use TikTok. Let's leave it at that.
I never use TikTok nor Snapchat. I think I only use Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. That's it. Because anything more than the three, I feel like it's just way too much for me, especially when I'm just trying to, you know, communicate with both old and new connections. So yeah, it's just a good insight because you have a son and I feel like you're more, I mean, I do have three bonus kids, but you know, they also use their apps and stuff like that, but I'm no pro when it comes to like knowing who uses what. So
yeah, part of the marketing stuff, you have to learn about that. And I did a couple of webinars on YouTube on that actually. So
there's a
webinar on social. If you look at the YouTube channel, then there's a whole webinar. I listed all the social platforms a year ago. So that's why I know, because I did a whole, like, a what was it? Like, again, 40 minute or something. Mm-hmm. I did half hour webinars, but so it was around 20 to 40 minute webinar. And I did that just on social platforms. I was talking about what age group uses what and, you know, how many there are. And most people like, exactly, when you tell them social media. Yeah, it's the Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and now LinkedIn's catching up. LinkedIn was really far behind. But it was YouTube and Facebook are the only two social platforms that people really know. And their affiliates, of course. So but it's because Google and Meta are like the biggest players. Microsoft is more worried about trying to catch up on Bing and operating systems. And Microsoft is number one in cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They have the largest cloud services. That's why they're not big in the thing. But they're trying to get a piece of the pie through LinkedIn. And you see all the improvements, some for better, some for worse. I don't know. Did you ever play the LinkedIn games yet?
No. Oh, my God. Really? Yeah. Since
a couple of weeks now, they've launched LinkedIn games to strengthen relationships and interaction, engagement. I'm like,
oh, okay.
I think this is much better than playing the game.
Wait, hold on. Last week? They released this last week?
So.
When did they release this?
Like, I think it's like 2 weeks ago. I think that's what it is, 2 weeks ago. And you look at your little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have like LinkedIn games. I'm like, I'm not using that. I mean, if I want to go play games, there's different platforms to play games on. I just, you know, and then for they're trying to push also people to create YouTube type video, vertical shorts and stuff. And I'm like, I'll try them. I'll do them. You'll probably get bigger reach. Yeah, LinkedIn just now likes people using videos. But I'm like, still, I don't think people are going to spend a lot of time on LinkedIn watching videos because it kind of gets lost in the timelines anyway. And just LinkedIn is a writing platform and connecting platform and just put videos on it. It's good. It's not going to hurt. But in the long run, I think it's going to end up like LinkedIn stories, which have appeared and disappeared like very quickly. I don't know if you ever heard of that. You know, Instagram, you have the stories.
Yes. Hold on. Like LinkedIn story, or this is just a theory that
LinkedIn launched the same thing about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that. This was a time where you were probably missing, but it was you open it up, it was exactly like Instagram. You had those stories at the top, and that whole thing lived like a year or 6 months or something. They were like, well, we're not getting anything with it, so they just shut it off again. I don't know how long it was. I think it was like a year or two. That's back. Everything evolves.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, but in person is in person. Anything you can take off the platform, no matter how much you engage on the platform, the only business you're going to make with anybody is off the platform, because you're just one of the millions of people that are using the platform. So unless you take it personal over Zoom or in person, you're not really going to make any business. You're not going to make sales. You know, people talk about inbound sales, this, you got to get perfect pitch, perfect this. Now, if you want to do business, you do it personally. I'm old school like that. I don't know. I want to know the person that I'm working with.
Well, when you say old school, we're talking about what generation? Gen Y, is it? Gen X.
I think I'm the X, 1973.
73, that's okay.
That's the X, Generation X, I think. But I'm way beyond that, even. I'm older school than that.
So Gen X with an older school mindset. No, because yeah, me, I guess I'm a Gen Y, but like I've done BD. I've also been around bringing the companies and ventures with me, and I've actually had clients wherein I've never really met in person. So I don't know how you feel about that, but yes, so it is possible, but I do understand that if there's a way for you to actually meet them eventually, then that kind of adds value to the professional relationships. I do understand that.
Yeah, but I was talking even like what we did, the personal call, that's more than plenty, but like just talking without knowing that person, like doing business, right, like that's so impossible almost to me, it feels like. Yes. Why would I buy something from somebody? Or yeah, if I want to buy a can of Pepsi, or if I want to, you know, something for a couple of dollars is fine. But you're really going to spend, let's say, $10,000 on somebody who approached you on LinkedIn, like, and you have never seen them or heard them? Are you going to, what's the price tag you're willing to go up to entrust that person that has contacted you on LinkedIn?
Up or down? No, none.
That's what I mean. Like, unless you start building that relationship a little bit, you know, it's kind of like, and that can be through Zoom, but, you know, again, private, not just, oh yeah, we know, we saw each other at the event. Here's what we do. You know, you want to buy our product for $100,000? No.
You don't do it that way, for sure.
Exactly. But that's what some of the influencers everywhere across the platforms, that's just on LinkedIn, will lead you to believe. Oh, I'm making 6-digit incomes because I posted these 10 videos. No, you didn't.
Yeah. There's a lot of those in the market, and I'm like, really?
Yeah. So that's a little bit crazy, but how's your adaptation in Sweden? How much longer are you gonna spend there?
Like, I don't know, decades, all my life. So maybe 2 years, you're gonna get back to me and you're gonna ask me, how do you feel about your Swedish? I don't know. I mean, I've known people here who actually emigrated, like, I don't know, 30 years back. Like 30 years, like they've been in Sweden for 30 years, but they weren't from here originally. They could speak the language, they could, you know, understand the language, and yet they still feel foreign. It's still, you know, you can still be in that space, you know what I mean? But sometimes I guess it just boils down to the acceptance that you can never be like full, so to speak. When I say full, it's like, again, it's an acceptance that you are a global citizen. I am a global citizen. So it's more like, it's just, you appreciate what you can have for, like, I don't know, your experience, where, like in my case, 4 years here, Swedish here and there, adapting to like cultures here and there. But, you know, I can't take out this. I told you, when I'm 15 minutes ahead, I'm on time. And when I'm on time, I'm late. I don't know. People here don't practice that in my experience. So, you know, there are just things that I feel would make me feel different, but that is okay.
Yeah. But you feel comfortable too, because you have, like, you said you went there for a relationship, right? So like,
yes,
you have family, yes, there. So that right, that you, so you've declared Sweden, you kind of claimed it, you put the flag down there in Sweden, and you're gonna stay there.
Yep. So first off, if I say I'm gonna stay here, it doesn't mean that I'm not gonna visit my family in the US. I'm not gonna travel. I'm not gonna, you know, be curious, but I know what you mean, like. Yep, I see myself being here for like a long time. So,
okay, yeah, because I'm always looking for new places, and I want to see. Now, Europe, I already know, so it's kind of like I know Europe. I've spent 2 decades there in my adult years, and part of that with my son and his hockey stuff. But anyway, right, now I'm traveling the U.S. My goal is to see as many cities in the U.S. as possible. So just last year I did like 27. I'm looking forward now this year to do another 20 or 30 cities. But US is so big, it's so hard. But yeah, again, my strategy is just drive from city to city. I actually started a YouTube channel on that as well, but I'm not really developing that right now. But yeah, go to city to city, get to see the area. And it's interesting because it's one country, and and the cities are so different. Coming from North Carolina to Illinois, there's a lot of differences, like you wouldn't believe, even within the one country and the way the mindsets of people and stuff. So, yeah, basically, I go to another city. If I stay there overnight, I go to the local bar. I get to talk to the locals. If find out some stuff. They'll, of course, immediately know I'm a New Yorker, so that's interesting to them in some ways, and then some people don't like that. And so, but I go to the bar, I talk to the people, I get to know them, and you get to know, like, where, what you should see, where you should go, and stuff like that, you know, what's interesting in each town. So I like that. And then beyond that, I think my, like, once I finish my, let's say, couple of years of doing this,
right,
just living on the road with no place else to go other than whatever next town takes me to. One of the interesting places I do want to see, because I always wanted to go to Asia, but I never made it, because, like, if I want to, again, that's my style of traveling, is I don't like to go on the planned trips. I don't like to be limited by time. So when I go, I want to spend some time to get to know the place. If I'm going to fly that far to Asia, I want to spend at least 3 to 6 months there. And and I want to see as much as possible, but I want to meet the local people, not the tourist sites with the tourist restaurants and sightseeing and whatever else. And I want to learn the language again, you know, like, see how long it takes me to learn. And so my next trip, I'm playing with an idea of Mongolia. So yeah, like, place in middle of nowhere for no reason whatsoever. I want to go and see it and learn the language.
No, that's, I mean, the fact that you're doing this right now, I mean, whatever you're doing right now, to be honest, like, I would think this is something that I would do in my early 20s, but now you're doing it, it's like, oh, I just find it extra amazing, if you ask me, because, like, I guess when you get older, and this is just my personal opinion, you know, the more responsibilities you think of, the more considerations you have to, you know, put in the picture. But in your case, I'm sure you've done that, but at the same time, it's still exciting. Like, it still sounds exciting.
And my son is 18, going to college. I don't have a wife. I'm not looking for a wife or a girlfriend. And I just want to take in the world.
Right. Well, you have that space and you have that, what do you call that? Yeah, you have the space and you have the time even. So.
And definitely what I'm, the industry that I'm involved in, the websites and, you know, digital marketing, I could be in the North Pole and I could still do my posts on LinkedIn. So
that's the beauty of remote working and networking. So
yeah,
we can do everything wherever we are. But of course, I like your style wherein you get to do a mix of it, wherein you meet people along the way, but you also are able to do things online and digital.
So. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, I never, that was one of my biggest life goals. Is two things. Is like, I always try to not own a brick and mortar business, because I'm not a homebody. I'm not somebody who just does the 9 to 5 and goes home and whatever. And that would kind of, like, having a business, once you open that brick and mortar business up, you're married to that location because you cannot leave for any extensive periods of time. You could take vacations, but you can't leave for 2 years. And the same reason I love pets, I love dogs. I don't have one because I don't want to put that dog through the stress of travel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I'm like, basically you get a dog, that's it for your travels. I mean, again, you could do the occasional trips here and there, but you can't go out for 6 months. You can't go out for 3 months.
Like a baby, you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you're basically committed, you committed to that creature for 15 to 20 years. And, you know, I don't see myself, like, I was okay with that as far as when it comes to my son. That's why I did what I did. That's why I stayed in Czech Republic for much longer than I wanted to. But son was, that's different, you know. But having a dog and just getting rid of it because I'm going to feel like moving someplace else, I just couldn't do that. So when I find a really nice place that I want to settle and just retire in, then I'll get into animals again.
Right, because I think
one of my biggest hobbies is horseback riding, and I would love to own horses. Oh. But that's another story altogether. I used to ride and train horses back in the day. That's another skill, that just because I love it. And you can't have that until you have a ranch and you live there and you never go anywhere else.
There are so many things that come with it, logistics, maintenance, vet visits, I think I know what you mean. Even just trimming, what do you call that for the shoe of the horse? When you do it,
yeah, horseshoes. They got to come once a month to shoe your horse.
Exactly. So lots of things that come with horses. I do understand. So you really have to think, okay, this is where I'm going to settle in. That's when, yeah.
That's when you could get into horses.
Yeah. That's the reason why I never had a dog after like my dogs died like 13 years back. I think it, I find it very irresponsible of me to actually want something that I can maintain and take care all the way, like 100% in my head. Because like you said, you're going to be traveling, you're going to be, and in my case, it's like, again, my family's in the US, my businesses are in Asia. And so I see myself traveling all my life. And so I just, you know, I just think that it's not reasonable for me to think of having a dog, though I love dogs. And maybe that's the reason as well why I, you know, I just love dogs so much that I think it wouldn't be right for me to have one. So
yeah, no, feel exactly the same way with the pets. That's why the only thing I had in Czech Republic was a 100-gallon fish tank.
That's good.
Because you just put the oil, okay. You have to have a big one because that takes less maintenance. So the 100-gallon is like a minimum size fish tank, because I did a whole, that's another aquariums, fish tanks, and this fish and stuff. That's another great hobby of mine. I have very lot of hobbies and stuff. I actually did a TV show on that too, on like how to do fish tanks and stuff. We did with my maintenance guy, and part of the you know, the homemaking shows that they have everywhere, like do it yourself shows and stuff. So we did a couple of episodes with, I've written the script and he did the performance and stuff. So it was on the television and everything else. But anyway, you get the 100-gallon fish tank, which is the smallest size, and you don't have to clean it only like once a month, once every 5 weeks, depends on how many fish you have there. And you have the auto feeder on. So like in case you go someplace, you know, the people can just come in and fill in the auto feeder like once a month. Okay. And, you know, maybe add a little bit of water in there and stuff. And the fish, they're great because they don't miss you.
And cats.
You know, you have the auto light turn on, then off at night. And, right. You know, if you're not there for 6 months, the fish don't care.
Yep. Fish don't care.
So, you know, that was my only pet that I had, really. And, you know, I had fun with that. And I was breeding fish for a while, too. I had the little aquariums. I put them in a separate and just for fun because
yeah.
But with the pets, it's hard. And then big pets, they take it. It's like a kid. If you have a dog, it's a child, and it's got to go everywhere with you. And again, if I'm gonna get a dog now to travel with me across the U.S., okay, no problem. I could do that. The dog would be okay with it. But what if I decide to go to Mongolia for a year next year? You know, yeah. Or 2 years from now, 3 years from now.
Right.
The dog will still be alive. So that's a problem. So if you want to live the global kind of a life, global citizen life,
right.
You know, you have to give up something as well.
Reconsider your priorities and, like you said, just not give up, but just consider or know what is important, I guess. Because I've known some who actually travel with their child or with their dogs, but there's a price for when you do it that way too. Like in my case, whenever I just like imagine it, probably my mental health. So I'm not gonna go that way. I'm not gonna go that road. So yeah. And for some they can do it. For some it's not really for them. But yeah, agree. Well, when you do this trip, let me know how it goes, because it's something that I've never tried myself. I've only been to different states and cities in the U.S., but I've never done it in a way that is literally just traveling. And you're going to be, it's like a road trip, right? Is that how you call it? Or a cross-country road trip?
Which one? You mean across the U.S. or Mongolia?
Across the U.S.
Oh, yeah. I keep doing that now. But I think we're going to be hitting more cities like next week again with my son, or in 2 weeks. And because my son's college is off. So I dropped him off in college in August. And then I did the entire Wisconsin, Illinois, going to Milwaukee, St. Louis, Nashville, Tennessee and stuff. So spend 2-3 days in each city and get to know, drive around, and then move on to another city and stuff.
Right.
We'll see what this summer I will bring. But right now his school is off, so we're going to be doing it with two of us. And then we're going to go off, and then, you know, I just want to see as many cities as possible, because America is big and I haven't seen enough of it being in Europe a long time. So I was only able to see like the Eastern coast, and there is a lot more, because, you know, we were driving basically from New York to North Carolina, to Florida, to DC, to Boston. I did all that in my life, but I didn't go more West. So that's my plan. And I want to map it out on YouTube as well, sort of, you know, get the experiences. Like I said, I have a YouTube channel set up for that. I did post a couple of videos.
Okay.
But it's not, I don't pay that much attention to it right now because I'm setting up my own, my son's business here in Bloomington. I want him to get a couple of companies that he can service and he could just work here in Bloomington. He goes to college here. So we're setting up business for him here and for him to service some businesses with digital marketing here. Then we're going to go leave for a couple of months and he comes back and he's going to be going to college and then he could work here as well. So he can make money because I don't want to pay for his college. I said, I'm not doing that. You're 18. You pay your own rent. You build your own business. I'm out of here. I want to travel. I've devoted my 18 years of my life to you. Mm-hmm. Now it's over.
I wanted to add because we were talking about, like, you know, living in different places, having different cultures, and, you know, so I think this is the mindset. When you're 18, you leave, you move out, and then you're on your own. But my experience is, like, I think my parents covered my education all the way to, like, college, and it has nothing to do with because you had the money, not like that. It's like a, you know, difference, just a difference. And I think in Hong Kong, it's still normal for you to live under your parents' roof, even if you're, like, you're already in your mid-20s or something. And that has something to do with, of course, how expensive land is as well. But at the same time, this family-centric culture, if that makes sense.
No. Czech Republic is definitely that way as well. And America is sort of split. Some people do it this way, some people that way. I would say the live at home and be supported by your parents beyond college definitely prevails in America. I'm not sure if it would be 60, 40, 70, 30, whatever, but it would definitely be more more widely used than the one where 18 and you're out kind of a thing. But I was like, no, you're 18. I'll help you, but I'm not going to support you anymore. And it's just, you know, the earlier, the sooner you learn that, the better it is, I believe. I'm, of course, hated by my entire family for that and by many people, because you're being so mean to your own child. And I'm like, no, he's 18. That's it. He's not a child anymore. And that's the important step that you got to make. And then the sooner he learns that, the sooner he encounters the real issues in life that he actually has to take responsibility for by himself.
Right.
Much more fulfilling life he will have beyond that.
He gets to learn the tools way ahead of everyone else. You're only going to know what you're supposed to do when you've experienced it. And that's pretty much what you're doing. You're giving him the gift of experience in order for him to develop his own tools.
Yeah. And for him to make a decision. So this is the career path I want to take. This is what I want to do. This is what I like. I mean, he's been, you know, we've been building up his YouTube channel now for a year. He's done a great job on that. And, you know, now I'm just teaching digital marketing, and he goes out and, again, you know, talk about the networking. He wants to finish the college in Bloomington. So I was like, I'm not going to go to the businesses here in person, because that's what I would do. That's my next step, is as I travel, I basically go to the restaurants. I go to the hotels. I go, you know, everywhere. So this is where I'm going to be networking on the road. I'm going to be networking and selling it to the businesses. But I said, no, I'm not going to sell anything in Bloomington because you're going to be here for 4 years. Talk to the companies here.
So he has to do the networking.
Those are going to be your networking companies. So I'm not going to go, because what is going to end up? It's going to end up where I'm going to be talking to the companies here. Yeah. And then they're going to be my clients. I'm going to be in, I don't know, the Yellowstone Park. They're going to need something. And I'm going to be like, well, you know, my son will go there anyway because he's there. So I was like, no. So you start building from zero here, and then I'll build up my business as I keep traveling elsewhere. That's what we're working on right now. So it's like, the best place to start networking is right where you are. That's, I think, would be the greatest lesson from being a global citizen, is wherever you are, that's where you network. And you want to spend your next 4 years here, set up your network here of people, get to know them.
True.
Then when you go back, because he wants to go to New York or Raleigh or something back afterwards, I was like, doesn't matter. You're still going to have a strong business here and connections. They're never going to go away after that. So
there's like one solid ground, like and that happens to be like where you are, which is, I think, is a smart strategy. I mean, that's the plan for him, right? So he's just going to be there for the next 4 years.
And maybe beyond, just the undergrad he does here. And I don't know where he's going to go for his graduate stuff, but that's his choice. You know, and But if he's going to go to another college in another state, well, that's going to be his next networking event, four-year event to meet all the locals there.
Well, but he has a, what do you call that? He's lucky because he asked you. So he can ask you, you know, for support.
I don't know if he would agree. I don't know if he would agree with you on that, but
you're a trove of knowledge. He should agree. No, I'm kidding. Who am I to say that?
No, he wouldn't. No, he prefers the other way. He prefers to be taken care of.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, well, that's not me. That's the wrong parent you're talking to now. Because I always lived a different lifestyle. We had this conversation a couple of months ago, and he says, you know, you're basically like, he got into this philosophy on YouTube with some person that was, he was watching his videos about the, it's a theory of NPCs, how people live their lives, like a non-player character, you know, in the video games, you have the non-player characters. Go to the, you know, you play video games and you have the other stuff that's controlled by the computer and they're just walking by, going to work, doing their things. He says, basically the world is set up of NPCs because everybody does their 9 to 5. They go here, they go there. They buy the trips with the tour guides, you know, when they go someplace. Well, yeah, we have the tour guide. We don't speak the language you learn. And so my son was like, you know, I was watching a video and I says, you're definitely not an NPC. He told me, and I was like, yeah, that's my lifelong goal, is not to be that NPC, just to be the free person.
No, I was going to say, I just learned that word last weekend. The I had NPC? No idea what that meant. Yeah, I'm pretty, you know, I feel like I've lived under the cave or the rock, whatever you call it. But yes, I just learned that word last weekend.
See, so now at least, now you know that actually a lot of people, population in the world are fall into that category. It's kind of like set up by an algorithm and people just need their home, their job, their this, their that. And I'm like, no, I'll go someplace. I'll go to another town and I'll make the money there. I don't care. It just, to me, it just seems natural.
Because you can and will.
And the other day, a police officer stops me here for something and I give him my New York driver's license on a car that's got North Carolina license plates, and I'm driving in Bloomington for the last 3 months, which is like completely like they don't understand it. I was like, well, you know, I don't belong anywhere. Where are you from? Well, I could give you my New York address because that's on my driver's license, right. And then but if you want where the car is registered, I could give you that because I have an address in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And but if you want my Illinois address, which is where my son stays, I could give you that one too. So which one do you want?
He's like, when you answer this type of question this way, you definitely know you're a global citizen because there's no way to answer this in just, 10 words or less.
So right? I'm like, I'm not tied down to any particular location. And I'm just, I'm sort of looking if I want to settle someplace, but I'm not sure if I ever get to that point.
Well, you're not there. So savor where you are right now, I think.
Yeah, and that's what it is. You got to enjoy the moment where you are, and then you make the best of it where you are, and you make your money where you are, and you make your networking where you are. You know, I mean.
And I still think that even if physically you have settled, like in my case, I am here, and I do have my reasons why I haven't really gone to the U.S. for a bit. Not for a bit, like maybe for a few months, 3-4 months, because I usually go travel maybe every 2-3 months. Even if you're settled, you're physically settled somewhere in my case, I still think that I have the mindset of a global citizen. So it's still there. And I think it would show by how we meet, how we talk to other people, how we connect digitally, how we meet, you know. By the way, I also, with a core team here, I even arranged this group called Cooking for Integration. So we do have a leader. Her name is Benda. But basically, we gather like international women, or women, men, in order for us to just socialize over food. So that's like my networking ground these days. So, you know, so, yep, just
and that. And that happens what, on LinkedIn or through Facebook or Zoom?
In person. So it's like I have in person and I also have my digital space to network. And I do agree with you, nothing beats in-person networking. And so for me, That's how I've been doing it these days on the in-person department. So I do have groups here that I relate to, and these are people who have gone around. And so I really feel, you know, it's because it's different. You kind of want to relate, right? And birds of the same feather, so to speak. So that has been my ground recently.
Yeah, that's good. And then basically, but those are the people just in Sweden, and they're like women coming from different backgrounds, yes, and countries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually a website called, I think it's Internations. I don't know if you've ever heard of that one.
Yeah,
that one is there. I've done a couple of those. I have never really gotten involved that much, but that was later because my son already had, he was playing hockey when I was in Prague. But they do a lot of events, but yeah, I just couldn't make it because, you know, I was tied down by hockey games and practices. But but yeah, it's a pretty good site that actually does connect these, you know, expats, right, all across the globe. Yes. And I still get emails, so.
I'm also a member of that, and I'm actually closer to Copenhagen. So compared to, like, so I'm located in south of Sweden, so whenever I go for an Internations event, I'm closer to Copenhagen.
And how long does it take you? How long does it take you to get there? Like, you take, like, the ferry, right, or something?
No, just car. Just maybe 2 hours-ish, 2 hours.
Because I never really explored that area in Europe, but I know it's like, I know it's not far, but there's like a regular bridge you go over. Just that's it.
Yeah, the Öresunds bridge, Öresundsbron is what they call it. So it's like the longest. It has a record for something, but I think it's one of those like longest architectural piece here. So
yeah,
connects Sweden and Denmark. Really nice bridge. So.
Yeah, well, you know, and again, it's another country, but it's still, you know, exactly. And Europe has been getting better in this, you know, like accepting more of the neighboring countries and stuff. And it's right. Historically, if you look at the history of Europe, it's pretty complicated and kind of conflict driven development of history in Europe, but. But yeah, I think they've been getting better with this. I think European Union has helped a lot to bring the people together a little bit more. So, right. So you could go from Sweden to Denmark and peacefully.
Yes, peacefully.
Because that hasn't always been the case, especially in the north. I mean, you just look at the history of Ireland and England. I mean, you know, that's right. Not that far back that they had terrorist attacks still, you know.
When? Yeah, sorry.
Back in the IRA, the Irish Republican Army. That whole thing. I mean, it's still back in the 90s, I think. It was maybe even after 2000. Somewhere around that it stopped, but there was a regular war going on in England.
Okay. I think that time I was still in Hong Kong. So.
Yeah, but that was...
History in my mind, where there's like a lot of revolutions going on, people on the streets wearing yellow. Yeah, that's like the side of... That's what I remember, I guess, during that time. So,
yeah. Well, no, it's knowing the history of the world is a pretty complex thing, and I think we've developed, and I think the travel has allowed, and we always said this even back in the 90s, is, you know, if people can cooperate and if people can globally collaborate and make money together. Why would you start a war with a country where you have a business interest in?
Yeah,
you know, I think sense. With the networking and business, I think that's the biggest, that's one of the biggest securities for peace, is when you're being productively, when you're working, cooperating together for the mutual benefit of both countries. Why would you be fighting against your own financial interest? So that's one of the things that goes back to the 90s, what we were talking about at the seminars, right, and webinars. Seminars and different trainings and stuff, is that, yeah, the, you know, networking globally is always good, and starting businesses and interactions, because it's less likely for a war conflict to develop.
Right. You know what? I have to correct myself, because I said 90s. I'm in Hong Kong. No, I was actually in the Philippines. I was really young, and we had like a bunch of people power revolutions, and the revolution would be in a way that is peaceful. So people would just gather in the streets and, you know, not in a violent way, to oust the president, to, you know. So, yeah, I just had to correct myself there.
Well, it's, you know, no war conflict is ever good. Any military conflict is never brings in anything good, at least not for the people. Sometimes for the businesses, but not for citizens.
Unfortunately, they consider war as a business, and so only a few people benefit from it. But there are casualties, and like you said, I am not for it. So,
yeah, no, well, definitely, and that goes against everything with the. And again, it goes back to the global citizen idea. It's just. Right. If everybody would be a global citizen, there'd be a lot less, not that you have crime in every country. So, but if you make the world a global place of, so then you're going to really cut down on this war.
Yes.
Stuff. I mean, for sure. So, but I think we're still a couple of generations from that. At the best. But the journey that we've gotten so far, I think, is pretty good. And the fact that we could talk to people all across the globe and, you have your things here and there, but, you always have glitches and issues. But I think it's good times. I think we are still in the best of times in history that we've ever had. If you look at the long history of our planet and civilizations, I think.
Yes. I've been thinking about how it is to live in those years or decades. And I don't know. I just can't.
It's to me, it's very fascinating to a certain extent, but I still like a lot of people would like say, well, back then it used to be much better, it used to be this, that, because they're just kind of like romanticizing it. But I'm like, no, I think we're doing pretty good right now. I think we should enjoy the moment where we are and we should make the best of it. And we have so many more options than it used to be. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And it's just all you got to do is explore.
Right, just meeting people. Think about this. I mean, if you were to explain what we're currently doing right now to people maybe 70, 80 years back, they're going to be like, what? It's just close to impossible. Like it's some dream of some sort, right? So I think we're in a good place.
Yeah, because you used to have to get what's the spice from Asia? What's the number one spice from Asia?
Is it saffron? Nay.
That's one, but I know it grows elsewhere. But yeah, for example, but if you wanted that, whatever spice there is, you had to send a trailer with horses and it would take 6 months to get there or whatever. And it would take 6 months to get back.
Yeah.
Then if you use the Navy, okay, it's going to be quicker. So it's only take a couple of months, for example, if you take the naval route. But, it's kind of like now it's like you can have, I don't know, a kangaroo steak from Australia here in couple of hours, the plane flies out in the morning and you're there at night and you're calling a person while the thing is, and you could watch it on the GPS and track it and everything else. So the world has really grown small over the time. So, and yeah, we should enjoy it and we should explore new options and opportunities always to network and talk to people that we want to meet and expand our horizons by other cultures as well. I mean, that's why I want to go to Mongolia, where I don't speak any language, anything, and I'll just be like, here I am, teach me.
That's a good take. We're looking forward to like seeing your, I don't know, maybe you're going to post something about it or share.
I would definitely would do that. But that's just my favorite thing, is just coming to a new place and be like, here I am. What do I do here? Teach me, show me. I want to learn. And that's, I think, the best approach to networking as well.
Mm-hmm.
So my son is always like, how do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I just walk into a place, I talk to everybody, and then we end up being friends at the end of the night. So it's all. It's
just, you gotta walk it, then you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's me. Anyway, we've been for an hour and a half now online.
I know. We're just enjoying our conversation. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying, it's like, that's why it's always hard. And there's always something to talk about. And so that's the good part about it. And I think it's got to be exciting and it's got to be engaging and interesting and whatever the words you want to use. But yeah, if there is a conversation, it's about topics and it's about experiences.
Right.
That's why I don't like to have the time allotted that much. And that's why I don't like to have it scripted. Like, oh, the script is over. What are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
Anything. There is so much. But,
rolling around, and like you said, it's like we have the same profile here, so we've experienced a lot and we have lots of fun and interesting stories in our books. So
yeah, and all of those are used in a networking, and that's why when I go into the any place anywhere in the world, I'll just
make connections there like that, because that's just my nature. It's just when you're used to networking all the time, it's just don't be afraid to open up your mouth. That's basically what it comes down to. Because it's all good, you know. So yeah, no, but definitely it's been fun having this conversation. I think we should do this again sometimes on a different topic, share some other experiences. Because I think I feel like we have still material for another 4 hours of discussion.
I know. I mean, this is the only time I find out about you horseback riding, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, but you haven't, you know. So there's a lot. And you can't blame us. They can't blame us because, again, we have gone around and you can't really put everything in an hour to begin with.
No.
That's not what it is. Yeah.
Put a lifetime of experience into 1 hour.
Exactly.
It's kind of like that question, where are you from? You know.
Yeah, we need an hour for that, just to answer that question.
So. Exactly. It's like, wait a second, I don't understand your question. And for most people, it's very simple. I'm from there or there.
Well, it's I have never experienced that. So.
I'm like, how do you answer that quickly? I don't understand. Yeah, so I think we'll focus it a little bit differently, but I think we still have things to say at some future event.
Okay.
So it's been great having you. Great talking to you. I think it was a great experience. Thank you.
And,
hopefully everybody else got entertained or hates us, whatever it is.
Do not care. No.
It's taking too much time, but we'll see. We'll see what the feedback is. But yeah, great talking to you and talk to you soon again. Have a great day or good evening for you anyway.
Bye.
Bye.